I'd like to say good evening to you. It's good to be here tonight and good to be here with God's people. I'd like to take this time before we get started to thank everybody for their prayers and for their concerns for our mother-in-law. She's gone on to glory now, and she's not suffering anymore. So I'd like to thank you all again for all your words and all your kind words and all your prayers. God bless each one of you. If you want to read along tonight in the Bible with us, turn to Exodus chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 9 through 12 in that chapter and try to bring a message from that. So if you will, if you want to stand, you can. If you don't have to, unless you want to. It said, but verse 9 of chapter 19 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words to the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount and touch the border of it. So whoever touches the mount, shall surely be put to death." Let's pray. Lord, we just call on you again today, Lord, and just ask you, God, to make me your servant tonight, and God, that you might use me, and God, that I might have a fresh anointing from your Spirit, and God, that you just might bless the people here and these lives and homes that's gathered here tonight. God, strengthen them and help them as well. Bless our church. God, help us to grow and continue to serve, and God, be with our pastor and others that's on vacation this week. Lord, watch over them and guard them and protect them as well. Father, just have your will and way now, Lord, and Father, may we give you all the glory. May you have all the honor, because you and you alone, Father, are truly worthy. This is interesting. You may be seated. This is interesting scripture to me. When I was reading it, I was thinking about, here are the people. They'd been held captive in slavery and bondage for 430 years. Now they'd been delivered. God had done wondrous works and great miracles before them. They'd seen God in action, so to speak. And now here they are. They're gathered at Mount Sinai, and God is going to come down and speak to them. And as I was reading this, I could almost sense the excitement that, hey, man, you know what's going to happen? The third day, God's going to come down and God's going to talk to us. I guess it was in the newspaper. It might have been on all the leaflets and everything else. The third day, God is coming down to talk to us. You see, God always takes initiative in things, folks. God always takes initiative. He provides for us and comes down and gives us what we need when we need it. But you see, I could just sense the excitement in it because, man, I said, this is something. Here they are. They've seen all the works that God has done. They've seen all the miracles, the Red Sea, the drowning of the Pharaoh's army, all those things going on. And now we're going to get along with God, and God is going to actually come down and talk to us. God talks to us a lot of times through His Word and through our friends and through people that that we know and we trust and we confide in. God speaks to us that way. And through His Holy Spirit, He teaches us and directs us and guides us. You see, God hadn't quit talking to us yet. But here the people are. Can you imagine the excitement and things that's going on here? He said, God's getting ready to make a covenant with His people. He's fixing to enter a covenant relationship with them. Just like He entered into it, the new covenant, when Jesus Christ partook of the, when Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross to die for us, we entered into a new covenant with Him. But here we are in the Israelites that, without any order, there's chaos. And He was fixing to give them the Ten Commandments and make a covenant with them that they could keep His ordinance and His commandments and His statutes so they could live and please and serve God the way they're supposed to do and be witnesses to other people and other nations that they could see who God was. And, that's the same thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be that way. So you can see, I don't know if you can sense it like I feel it right now, but I still feel the excitement about it, because if I knew God was going to talk to me in just a few minutes, I'd be all excited about it. I really would, because there's nothing I'd rather hear than, or anybody I'd rather hear from than the Lord Almighty. But anyway, here they are. 430 years, they're going to make a covenant with the people, and they were going to worship. You know, and a lot of things happened that day, but that was probably the greatest thing that was going to take place on that day, is that God was going to talk to his people. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. In God's presence, let me give you the title of this sermon before I get through with it. I mean, God, listen, prepare or get ready to meet God. You see, that's what we're going to do. That's what they were going to do. So when you think about it, they were going to be in God's presence. And when you get into God's presence, think about this. When you get into God's presence, it shows you where you really are and where you really stand with God. You see, Isaiah chapter 6 said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, when we get into the presence of God, you see, we need to think about that. I was excited about it, but you see, you need to think what you're doing here. Because you see, when you get into the presence of God, you actually see who you really are and what's going on in your life and what you need to do to correct your life. You see, that's just the way God works. When we get into his presence, we see who we really are. Isaiah said in 64:6, he said, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." So see, there's none not righteous, no, not one. So see, if we come into the presence of God, we really see ourselves for what we really are. Listen, this is what one commentator said. He says, "Feelings of fear and unworthy might be present. At the same time, they seem to drown in the love of God and in the deep sense of awe of his love for us." Even though we get into the presence of God and we realize who we are and all, God still loves us enough that he lets us understand that, and he gives us opportunity to change that circumstance and that situation in our life. The seraphim flew over and took a coal and put it on Isaiah's lips and said, "Your sins are forgiven." You see, that's what happened in the presence of God. When we get and see where we are, when we realize what condition and what shape our life is in and what we need to do to correct our circumstance and our situation, God moves in our life, folks. God moves in our life. So you see, it's good to be in the presence of God. Even though we see our own sin, we see our own faults, we see the things that we need to do to correct the situations and circumstances that we're doing in our life, but God still works in our life, even though we've got sin in our life. So he says here, notice here, I want to tell you something. The first time I got into the presence of the Lord, I'm going to speak about myself tonight, just a few minutes. I was standing at we had visited East Rome Baptist Church. My family went there, my aunts, uncles, yada, 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 you know, one of them family things, you know. I was lost as ball and high weeds, folks. I was. I really, truly was. I was in bad shape. I'll put it that way. And you see, I heard that preaching. I heard that sermon. And then we all stood up and they started giving the invitation. And I was 30 years old. I was pretty strong. And I was a lineman. I'd worked hard. And I didn't know what in the world was happening to me. I was standing there holding on the back of that pew, Brian, my knuckles was white as a sheet. I had alligator tears running down my face, folks. I was trembling and shaking, and I didn't know what in the world had a hold of me. I didn't know what in the world to do. I tried to pick my foot up, Billy. I could not even lift my foot, folks. You know what? I was in the presence of Almighty God, and God was showing me just exactly what was wrong with me. And I finally got able to turn loose of that bench. I finally got home. And boy, was I ever so glad to get home. Believe me, I was. And I told Wanda, I said, you'll never get me in that door again of that church. The second time I come into the presence of the Lord was the next week at the same church. I thought y'all would like that. Wanda and the Lord had done got to talking this thing out. And that Sunday, I fell in that altar. I got right with God, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I ain't been the same since. And listen, that's what's happened to these folks. Once we get in the presence of God, once we get rid of our sins and our shame and our guilt and all that stuff that's hoarding up in us and holding us back from doing what God wants us to do, we're never the same people anymore. Somebody told me when I went to work, I told them, we were sitting there that morning, I said, boys, you ain't going to believe what happened. I went to church Sunday. They all just roared. I said, but let me tell you something. I got saved. Oh, my gosh, you could hear a pin drop. One buddy of mine said, I'll give you 6 weeks. You'll be right back at it. I said, man, I sure hope not. I sure hope not. And God's brought me this far already in my life. You see, he says here, Moses, when he was on the mountain, he told to take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. He hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. God was, there Moses was on the backside of the desert. You know who showed up? God did. God shows up just when you need him. There's a song out, he's the on-time God, and he is. Just when you need him, God's there. He's there. And I guess what I'm trying to say is we cannot approach God any way we want to. See, God's holy. See, and this is what he's trying to teach the children of Israel. This is what he's trying to teach the nation. He says, we must come to God his way, and no other way is acceptable, for he alone is holy. It says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father. You hadn't chosen me, but I've chosen you. You see, that's the way it works. People, they say, I'm going to wait till I get 55 and I get saved. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to act like I want to. And then when I get ready, I'm going to get saved. Hey, don't kid yourself. It don't work that way. You see, God comes to you and deals with you and talks to you. And if you keep rejecting him, he's not obligated to come back anymore, folks. He's not obligated to come back. Look here what he says. There had to be some preparation before the people could get right with God, before the people could talk with God, and God would come down on the mountain. It says they had to be sanctified or consecrated. He said, set them apart. And on the third day, we'd come near, he said, set them apart. Don't go near your wives. And on the third day, God's going to come down. So see, we've been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We've been set apart because we've been, other than us, are saved and been born again and trusted Jesus. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart because we're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, so you see that there. He said, also, those 2 days while you're washing your clothes and everything, he says, while you're getting set apart there, he said, take 2 days. And he said, and I got to thinking about that. And the Lord kind of showed me this. You know, they had 2 days there to think about what was going to happen to them, what had happened to them. They had a chance to reflect on where they was in the land of Egypt, where they had come to, Mount Sinai, and all the things that God had blessed them with on the journey. You see, God wants us sometimes just to get alone and sit down and think about meditate on Him and what He's done for us. And we can see all the blessings and all the love and all the things that God's poured out upon us as His people. You know, and I think maybe that's what He's saying here. Y'all just take a little time, kind of lay back a little bit and think about what God has done for you. And see, sometimes we don't consider that. We don't think about that much. We take too much for granted sometimes. I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I need to do this and I need to do that. And then when we come to church, you know, we got so much on our minds, we ain't got time to really thank and worship and praise God anymore. We've got so much going on. And we're just in a buzz and we're in a fizz, you know. But you see, before we come, we need to sit back and think. Listen, have you ever... Yeah, I think it does us good to sit back and see where we was and to see where you are now. Just see where God has brought you in your own life, how God has nurtured you and helped you and encouraged you and taught you and showed you all the things that we need to do and where we are in our present time in our life. If I wouldn't have got saved, folks, I truly believe I'd already be dead. And I tell you that, I'm honest and open as I can be. I believe God would have probably took me out. But He was gracious to me. He was gracious to me. He loved me just as He loved anybody else. And He was willing to take me out of the miry pit and put me on the rock. You see, it does us good. It don't mean go back to the ways you used to live, but just think about the things that you've been through and the things God. Listen, how in the world do you think we made it when Dusty died? God brought us through that. How are we going to make it with this, with Wanda's mother's death? God's going to bring us through it. You see, that's what He does. That's what He does. And if we just think about it, where we was and how we used to live and all the things that we did that was wrong in our lives. Some of us didn't do things that bad. Some of us pretty good folks. But listen, you still got sin in your life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Then He says, wash your clothes and change them. Wash your clothes and change them. It says, water was scarce in the desert. You know, Moses had to hit the rock for water to come out of. Water's scarce. There ain't no showers out there. They had to tote water, you know. And of course, their clothes, they would get soiled and stained and from the dust and the dirt and all the, you know, all the people. You know, that's exactly what happens to us sometimes. We get soiled and we get stained because we've been out in the wilderness. We've been too far out too long. And then we're trying to get back. And you know, I thought about that prodigal son, Billy. He must have had hog mud all over him. He must have had mud all over him, folks, but he's still coming home. You see, the father was there to greet him and to meet him and to welcome him home. And you see, that's the same thing. But he told me, he says, you wash your clothes. You get cleaned up. Washing and changing clothes is marking the new beginning. You see, Israelites was fixing to start a new beginning. They was fixing to enter into covenant with God. They were fixing to get the Ten Commandments, ordinances, and statutes that God had laid out for them. It was a new beginning for them. It was a time that they could start all over again. Delivered 430 years out of slavery. Now we're starting over. God's going to give us a promised land. Land of milk and honey. They were optimistic. You know, you got to be optimistic. Like I said, it's a new beginning for Israel. And when we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, it's a new beginning for us, folks. It's a new beginning for us. We get to start all over again. You know, that's the same equivalent as John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, we get to start all over again. It's just not one time. We do things wrong, God forgives us. We say our prayers. We confess our sins. We repent of our sins. And then we get to start again. That's the same thing that's going on here. Look, you guys, you keep the law. You keep the commandments. You obey me. You serve me. Listen, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. It works the same way now as it did then. So you see what's going on is these folks are getting cleaned up. They're getting the sin out of their life. That's what that represents. And that's what we need to do as Christian people. If we've got sin in our life, we need to confess it, get rid of it, move on, and start serving the Lord again. So you see, then you see the preparation. Well, first of all, let me say this. For us as the church, you know, their robes was dirty and they needed cleaning. But listen to what it says for us as a church. He says in Revelations, let me find my place. I've done lost my business, but that's all right. I'll find it. Fear not. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelations 19, 7 and 8, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of God. And then also in that same chapter, verse 14, and the armies which were with him in heaven followed him upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You see, we've been washed clean. Our sins have been given from the blood of the Lamb. And Paul said that this corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortality will put on immortality. Listen, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be with Jesus forever. And we're going to wear robes of righteousness, folks. We ain't going to have to worry about it anymore. So you see where we are. And then, of course, there's a precaution. He says, separation. He says, stay away. It's a matter of life and death. The barriers, the guards. Listen to what he says here. He said, thou shalt not hand or touch it. 13 says, you surely be stoned where the man or beast it shall live. Then when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come to the mount. They put up a fence around the mountain. They put guards around the mountain. And if anyone was going to break line or break out of rank, they had the authority to kill that person with a spear or an arrow. Listen, you couldn't come near that mountain. There was a separation there. And see, what God is trying to show his people now is that he loves them, he cares for them, and he willing to save them and change their life and let them have a new beginning, but they got to do it according to his plan, because he is holy, and only he is holy, and only he is worthy to have honor and praise. You see, that's the thing God's trying to emphasize here, is his holiness. And this is the way he's going to do it. He says, hey, he's trying to warn them. He said, it's a matter of life and death. The guards, the bear, he had authority to kill. He said, and it was also a danger of presumptuously entering in to the presence of the Lord. You just don't come to God any way you want to. You have to come the way God wants you. That's what I said to start with, and that's what I'm talking about now. You look at Nadab and Abihu, if I said that right. That was Aaron's sons, and they were anointed as priests. And they done anointed everybody, got everybody ready to go, and they had the first service. And they come in and they made a sin offering, they made a peace offering, they made a wave offering, and everything was fine. But these two boys, Leviticus, I believe it is, chapter 9 or chapter 10, 9 is when they made the sacrifices, 10 is when these two sons, they grabbed the altar up, they grabbed the incense up, put it in a different vase or lava, and they carried it over and they poured it on the altar, and they said that the Lord consumed them because they offered strange fire upon the altar. You see, it's dangerous. You just don't come to God any way you want to. You see, the thing about them was they was doing it out of pride. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So, see, we can't come to God with pride and malice in our heart. We have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You see, God wants us that way. He doesn't want all of our stubbornness and all of our things. He wants us to come to Him according to His plan. Think about Cain and Abel. You see, Cain offered a better sacrifice. I mean, Abel offered a better sacrifice. Cain offered the products of the earth, which was already been cursed, which he was a tiller of the earth. And the Lord told him, he said, sin lieth at the door. And he killed his brother because they got into a controversy over that, and he murdered his brother. You see, we just can't offer anything to God that we want to. God wants the best we got. God wants the best. You know what God really wants? He wants us. He wants our heart, our soul, our mind, and our spirit. He wants us to bow down, worship Him, serve Him, love Him, obey Him, and call out to Him and praise His holy name. That's what God wants from us. It's not a hard formula. It's not Chinese arithmetic or anything. It's just simple praise and worship, folks. Simple praise and worship. I thought about Achan when I was doing this, Billy. You know, they went into Jericho and they was told, don't take anything out of Jericho. Achan brought it to the camp. He put it under his tent. And the whole nation was in a ripple because of what one man had done. And God plainly said, do not bring anything out of there. So Achan lost his family, everything he had, because he didn't simply do what God said to do. You see, we're supposed to be obedient. The Bible says it's better for us to obey than to sacrifice. And that's what he's saying here. So when we look at it, and we think about it, there was a great storm on that mountain that day. It said it was thunder and lightning. The mountain shook. It said the fire went up like the smoke of a furnace. And God come down on the mountain to speak to the people. You know, God displayed His power and His might and His majesty and His holiness right there. He said, look, I want to show you something. This is who you're messing with. And you don't want to mess with me. You want to obey me. You want to follow me. You want to do my will. You want to serve me and do like I say do and do it the way I say do it. Because there's consequences when we don't do things God's way. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. But somewhere down the road, the Bible teaches me that be sure your sin will find you out. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. You see, we got our consciousness. We got a Holy Spirit in us. And when it starts dealing with us, we need to start listening up. Because we cannot come to God any way we want to. God is almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign, holy. The changing of the clothes, the washing and separation, the distance from Sinai, it had to impress them people. It had to resonate in their life some way or another. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to be in our life, in the midst of our life. He wants to resonate in our life. And if we've been saved, His Holy Spirit lives within us. We're the body. We're the temple. And He just wants us to be obedient and follow Him. So He says, in Isaiah 6:13, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. It says when we're concentrated and prepared to meet meet with God, we better be ready to encounter Him like we never have before. I mean, when you're really sincere, when you're really trying to get to seek God, He said, knock, and I'll open. Seek, and you'll find. Ask, it shall be given unto you. You see, when you're really, really trying to seek God out and seek His will for your life and seek what He wants you to do, you better be ready, because things are going to change just like they did right here. Just like they did in your life when you got saved. You're continuously changing. Everything changes. Everything changes. Listen to this, he says. When we are prepared to go up, if y'all don't hear nothing else I say, y'all listen to this tonight. I like this, Billy. When we're prepared to go up, God's ready to come down, folks. God's ready to come down. I've got a song. I asked Tom to play at the end of this service. I know I might be just running close, but I just want y'all to hear this. And if you want to come to the altar tonight, you come on. If you want to sit there and praise and worship, you do what you want to do. You let God guide your heart and life tonight. But listen to the words. This is a very popular song, but listen to the words of this song. Tom, go ahead, brother.